Hey, Giant fans, welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name's Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, is the beat writer, the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz, Chris Bisignano. And we are ecstatic to have back on our program the great, and I will say great, I'm not using it lightly, Dave Syverson, who's been contributing to the Giant Insider for a few years now. Thankfully, they decided to use all of his info in this issue, which I didn't notice till I got the write-up, and I was like, oh, they used Dave this time, the entire write-up. So Dave, welcome back, buddy.
Fellas, how we doing?
Good, man.
Here we are yet again after another trip around the sun talking about the NFL draft.
Isn't it amazing, Dave? It's another year.
It's amazing how fast and how slow it goes at the same time, especially when you have a two-year-old.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's nice. Incredible because we're exactly 1 month away from the draft.
Yeah. It is. I know. It's crazy. This is like a fun time of year because you start to see the fruits of your labor just because there's so much that goes into it. You know, you start this process of data collection in June, and here we are. You know, I'm looking at notes that I wrote down on guys in June and July, and it's helping me, you know, create the final reports and everything. And, you know, there's no way around this. Just a couple scouting mentors that I have, they said there's no way around the work. You know, you can't shortchange it, and everyone knows if you do. And But it's a really cool thing to be a month out and it's pretty much done, you know, the grading process, and you put all your stuff out there and, you know, sit back and enjoy the party.
Hey, Dave, you know, look, this is what you do. You do it year round and all that. As far as, you know, obviously, you know, I cover the team on the Giants on a daily basis. So then when free agency madness hits, you know, I'm into that. And then right after that, you know, which, you know, it slows down after the fourth or fifth day, you get some names trickling, of course. But, you know, the big wave is those first 3 to 5 days, 6 days. And then I start really diving into this. And I've been diving into these kids a lot the last week, Dave. And you know what? We'll get into the – because this is what a lot of Giants fans feel. It's what I feel. Not saying it's definite, but the wide receiver position is something that – Joe Shane probably will explore at 25. He might even move up for a kid they really like, but it's somebody, you know, he wants to add an outside. He wants to add a receiver, another one for Daniel. He's been plugging in, you know, the Jamison Crowders, you know, just in case guys don't come back. You know, he got Sheps coming back from injury. Wandell won't be back unless he makes a pretty miraculous cover. He probably won't be back until October at least. So you see what Joe's doing. He's plugging in these veterans and there's going to be a lot of competition. So, but wide receivers a spot, Dave. I feel they're going to heavily explore 25. Probably will go there. Let's get into it, Dave. I have it broken down to top four. You could expand it. And then we could talk about each one. Quentin Johnson, the kid from Ohio State, Smith Najib. How do you say that, Dave? Do you know how to say that?
Najigba. It's basically just like a soft N and say Jigba.
Okay, Smith Jigba.
Yeah, Nick Jigba.
People forgetting the season you had a couple years ago, but we'll get into that in a few. Zay Flowers and Jordan Addison. I guess you could put Jalen maybe 4A, but those are my four. Let's get into each one. Dave, you could tell me your four. My guy, there's a few, but the guy that really intrigues me because of his size is Yak. He's a real X, and that's Quentin Johnson. Tell me what you see in him, Dave. Tell me if he's there at 25, the Giants should or should pass on him or whatever it is. Get into it, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, do you remember the movie Avatar that came out a few years ago? I wasn't a huge fan of him, but I remember when I wasn't a huge fan of the movie, but, you know, I just remember the freakish figures that those guys were. And that's what Quentin Johnson, he looks like and he moves like. You know, you'll see a guy that's 6'4", 208, you immediately go down the path of, oh, he's probably a possession receiver. You know, he can't get in and out of breaks. He's not that fast. But this kid, he looks like a track athlete with how high his knees get off the ground, the high step motion that he gets once he gets his open up his stride downfield. But then you see him go and attack the ball too. I mean, this kid jumps out of the building. I mean, when you're talking about just pure leaping ability, right? There's more to the receiver position than that. But just talk about the skill set. There isn't anyone that jumps with him. If I remember off the top of my head, I believe he jumped 40 plus in the vertical and 11 plus in the broad jump at 6'4", 208. Now, if he was 180 pounds, you'd be like, okay, I get it. This kid's 208. And like you said, I think the most overlooked trait in his game, which is going to be a huge deal at the next level, is the yard after catch. This kid's a tight end with the ball. You will not get him to the ground with cheap tackle attempts, which is a growing trend we see in the NFL right now. D-backs, they just don't like to tackle. And a a kid like this with the mindset that he has, how hard he plays, how physical he is, how hungry he is for yards after the catch. I mean, he was a weapon in their screen game because for that reason. So I think that he brings a rare blend of traits to the table. What I don't like about him, and he's my wide receiver too, behind the kid from Ohio State. So I obviously like him just like you, but if I wouldn't take him over Smith and Jigba, but we'll get into him a little bit later, I'm assuming. Yeah. But he's not a pure natural receiver yet, and that's okay. Things can be developed. I think no matter who drafts him needs to go into the process saying, we are going to spend time trying to develop him. He's not our wide receiver one on week one. He's not our wide receiver two week one. He's a guy that will get 20 to 25 snaps a game in certain situations, and you try to ease him into the process. I do like the attention to detail he shows as a route runner. I think the desire and mental acuity is there, but when you talk him, when you watch him catch the football, it's not natural. His 12% catch drop rate this past season, that's twice as high as you want. And, you know, that's the one thing that has separated me from wanting Darius Slayton to pursue the future here. And I think the Giants kind of had to bring him back. Don't think it was a bad move or signing, but that's what separated Darius Slayton from hitting his potential that we saw his rookie year, was the ball skills never fully developed. And that's the risk you're going to get with Johnston.
Dave, a lot of what Dable and Kafka like to do is those little hits, you know, get the ball out of Daniel's hands.
Yeah.
And this is what really caught my eye with Quentin Johnson, because I watched like five TCU games in the last week, not the full, but a lot of it. And he's a big catch and release receiver, Dave. Give him those little bubbles, give him those little drags. He caught a lot of little underneath routes with TCU, Dave. You tell me if I'm wrong, buddy. You're better at this than me, buddy. But this is what I saw. A lot of those drag routes, a lot of those underneath, where he is deadly in those little catch and release routes, bro, and those little drags.
Yeah.
He gets the ball for a big kid with those yak yardage. I was so impressed, bro, watching that. And that's a lot what Dable likes to do in Kafka, you know. And then you look at him in contested catches, like you said, you see him going up and getting the ball. Now, there's a few things that, and like, Dave, you're like a scout, and of course, you got to come up with the negatives too, right? Look, some of the drops, was it a concern for me? Some of the easy drops? Yeah, it was. I have to be honest with you. There's a few, like he'll make a contested catch, and then he'll drop an easy one. Now, is that concentration level? Possibly, you know, which I hope, I think I fully expect to improve at the next level. But looking at that big kid, Dave, contested catches, red zone target. And I tell you, dude, those little underneath routes, you could do so much with this big guy. That's what I really liked about him, bud.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I think the one thing you touched on is something that the decision makers in the league are going to have to weigh, including the Giants, because I do think he will be within striking distance. He's not going to be a top 10 pick. I doubt he'll be a top 15 pick. If they want him, they might need to make a little move for him. But it is possible he makes his way down to 25. That's the thing about this receiver group in general. It's, you know, it's just 1 through 4. It's not 1, 2, 3, 4. It's going to be all over the map in terms of where guys are stacked. But what the decision makers are going to have to decide on, are you okay with the wide spectrum, especially early in the career? He's going to win you games, and then he's going to Darius Slayton you and drop a big pass in the middle of the fourth quarter when you're trying to make a comeback. That's going to happen early in his career. I think you need to anticipate that. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with spending a first-round pick on that because of the upside? I mean, 6'3", 208, 33-inch arms, you're talking about a radius that very few receivers in the league have, and almost none of them can jump and run like he does.
Off the charts. So, off the charts, bro.
Yeah. So, you know, one thing I think impeded him a little bit was the TCU scheme, you know, the Big 12 spread attack. There's just a lot in there that you're not going to see in the NFL. So you could take that as a positive or negative. Again, eye of the beholder. Do you see that as something that, oh, we're getting some untapped potential? Because I'll tell you what, early in the process in the fall, when I started to really see some of the positives, I said, this kid's going top five.
He had that
kind of juice. So, you know, that's where, you know, and then you have to do the deeper dive like you did. You watch a lot of football on him, and that's important. You have to watch the tape on these guys, and then you start to see those negatives, you know, appear and then reappear and then reappear. You know, the body catching, right? Letting the ball into his chest, not using the length that he has, not using the big hands. It's letting the ball into his body. And, hey, there's some successful receivers in the NFL that still do that. That's not, it's not a push him to the side, he can't do it. The question will just be, what are you looking to get? Now, look at the receiver room the Giants have right now. This kid makes the most sense, right? Your receiver room, you want it to look like a basketball starting lineup, right? You want your big boys with length and speed. You want your power forward that can body guys. You want your do-it-all. And then you want your point guards, the shifty guys. And they have a lot of shifty guys. And I'm not really going to include Jamison Crowder yet because I think he's an insurance policy. I don't think he's a shoo-in to even make the roster just based on looking at his contract. But here's the thing that I don't know yet about Isaiah Hodgins. I loved him. He deserves the shot. But they need someone with size. And Darren Waller will somewhat solve that issue. But they need a guy on the outside that has size. Here's the last negative I'll talk about Johnston, and it's not a negative against him as a player. It's a negative when you talk about the fit with the Giants. The Giants have talked about this multiple times, and the proof is in Buffalo they did this. They want receivers that can play the slot and on the outside. Okay, the number I have on Johnston, I just confirmed it before I came on. 90% of his snaps were outside. Only 10% came from the slot. I don't think that pushes him to the side. I just think it's something you have to think about in terms of who the Giants might pursue. But then also, this is bizarre to me. You don't see this often. Pretty much all of his snaps in 2022 came on the left side. And then almost all of them. And in 2021, almost all of his snaps came on the right side. Now, that's scheme. That's not Johnson's fault. I'm not going to question his intelligence. Like that would be foolish of me to do. I've never had a conversation with a kid in my life. That's where the meetings are really important and all the scouting background work. But if this is an issue for him to flip left to right, week to week, game to game, snap to snap, drive to drive, and then you can't play the slot, I think that's something that might push the Giants into another direction.
So when you say another direction, do you mean another direction at the receiver position or guard/center? And the reason I ask, like, a guy like Zay Flowers, a guy that, you know, we've all been looking at. And real quick, Dave, once I saw your write-ups, this was like me presenting in school to a teacher who didn't know what he was talking about. When I saw your name there, I was like, oh, shit, I got to get my shit together. Like, I need to know what I'm talking about. So with Zay Flowers being able to kind of, you know, like you said, versatility being the key, right? Inside, outside. Do you think they prefer someone like him, or would they look at another position based on what you could guess?
So if you're talking about that kind of the metric, the inside, outside, the versatility, line them up in the backfield, I think Zay Flowers is their guy. The question with Zay Flowers is pretty obvious. Do they want another Wandale Robinson type size player on the team? And from my perspective, the one that's not calling the shots, the one that my paycheck does not revolve around what the Giants do success-wise, I think he is the best fit for that part of the equation, for the versatility part of the equation. And I'll get into Smith Najigba. He's on the other side of the spectrum. He's a slot only. But Flowers, I mean, this kid was 30%, 33% slot, 66% wide. He screams Tyler Lockett to me, just the movement traits, the ability to beat you deep, the ability to beat you after the catch. But again, I think you're putting Daniel Jones in a bad spot if you put out there Sterling Shepard, Wandale Robinson, and Zay Flowers on the field at the same time. You know, it's a very small margin for error. But we know schematically, we trust Kafka and Daboll to work around things and work into the strength of the team. I think Giants fans, maybe you guys included, are a little burnt still by the previous coaching regimes prior to Daboll, that they just did not do a good job of adjusting to the personnel they had. I'm fully confident in this coaching staff. I don't know if you guys are. They will make. So if you put an athlete, a playmaker like Flowers on the field, the size is an issue. They'll hide it. You know, they have Waller, they have Hodgins. Like, let's not forget about that. That if you really want to make this offense dangerous, they want to make this offense faster, more explosive, right? That's probably the number one goal in their meetings, is we need more big plays. We need more explosive plays. Flowers is the guy because he can do it from any and all angles.
I think Joe Shane kind of gave that away at the combine when somebody asked him about a Zay Flowers and a smaller type of kid again. And Joe came right out and said, we're not worried about that. We worry about guys who separate. And then Daboll will get them the ball.
Yep.
So I think, you know, and getting to know Shane, Dave, the last few years, he's remarkably pretty honest with us. Not all the time, but when he comes out, getting to know him, like he comes out and says things, you could just say he ain't bullshit this year. He means it. You know, and he said some things in the past where he meant it. And, you know, And that was the first thing that came out of his mouth when asked about Zay was, you know, somebody asked him, I forgot who it was, somebody asked him about his size, and Joe says, hey, if they could separate, they could fit in our offense. You know, so keep that in mind too when it comes to Zay Flowers. As far I know, like oh, we got so many small guys, you know, but there's like you said, Dave, you have faith in these guys, Dable, Kafka, they use their personnel the right way. So he lines up 33% of the time on the outside in Boston College. Okay, so he's going to line up on the outside in plays here. I'm just saying if he's a Giant. He'll line up on the outside in plays here.
Right.
Right? And then you'll have your slot guy. You got Isaiah on, maybe on the X. You got Slayton on the X a lot. You got Isaiah on the Y. You got they'll scheme it up. But I don't think they're concerned about that size. That's the philosophy that I see from these guys, Dave. It's like, okay, we might have a bunch of 5'11", 5'9", 5'10". We got a big kid now at tight end and Waller. But we're going to scheme these guys up. We're not worried about that crap.
I agree with you. If you're going to make me say, all right, who do you think Giants are going in round we'll one at wide receiver? if they go receiver, I'm think it'll probably be Flowers. You know, I think it's we can get into Smith and Jigba. I mean, he's wide receiver one in this class on my board. I think that's where he's going to – if there is a predominant receiver in this class, it's going to be atop the team's boards. Like I said, it'll be all over the place. I think you'll see him number one most common. And he was 90-plus percent slot receiver. And I really think that in 2022, the plan for him was to play more hybrid role. Yeah. But the injury popped up, and we just barely saw him on the field. And, you know, there are exceptions to every rule. And some teams, some football minds out there that I respect a lot say you never draft a slot or slot only early. And it's debatable whether Smith Njigba can play the outside. And it's not just the long speed. That's a part of it. But it's also he's not a very big guy. He's got a squatty frame. He's 6 foot, yes, but he's got very short arms. He's a squatty body type. Those guys are usually best reserved for inside. But if you look at the way he moves, the way he separates underneath, there is not a better separator in this class than him when you're talking about getting open from the slot on third and five. I mean, this kid is Julian Edelman, but a better athlete. And better hands. I mean, just a better version of Julian Edelman across the board. Now, does he get paired with Tom Brady in a Bill Belichick in New England? I mean, that's part of what made Edelman, you know, such a folk hero up there is the situation he was put into. And, you know, I am a little worried about Smith and Jigma not getting into the right system. But if he does, and the Giants system would be the right one for him, he'll excel. But the problem here is, can he play outside often enough and well enough that, you know, you can put Wandale in the slot sometimes. You could use Darren Waller as an oversized slot sometimes. That's where the question I have with Smith and Jigma lies is, can he play outside often enough to warrant a first-round pick if he's there?
All right, Dave, we're 18 minutes in. I'm hoping you have six more hours to discuss the rest of the positions. I mean, this is fascinating stuff, dude. Really, I love it. Guys, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this. You are listening to the Giant Insider Podcast with special guest Dave Syverson. Hang on 1 second. And we're back. Folks, listen to the Giant Insider Podcast with Chris Nobody Beats the Biz, Biz Ignano, Jerry Foley, and Dave Syverson from Our Lads. All right, I'm going to jump off receiver, if that's okay, Chris. Or you want to get another receiver question?
Give us a little bit of a sleeper in this group that at 25 the Giants might go with, where you thought, wow, I'm just a little bit surprised they went with him at 25.
So are you talking about positions receivers, or just the receiver?
Like say Johnson, Smith, and Flowers are off the board. Give us a next guy up. Put it that way. Who would you be your next guy up?
A name that no one else is going to talk about. I'll give you one of those. I mean, I have Jalin Hyatt above him, but I'm not sure. He's a swing for the fence. You know, he's going to be a home run or a strikeout. Not sure they're going to do that at 25. Marvin Mims from Oklahoma played in multiple schemes, played inside outside. I think he ran sub 4.4 at the combine. And in September, my game knows I have Stephon Diggs written underneath him. Just knowing where Dable and Shane are coming from. I don't have a first-round grade on him, but if you're asking for a surprise, which we see them every year, especially on the back half of the first round, that back quarter of the first round, you see surprises every year. That's a name to keep an eye on, Marvin Mims.
I gather that's Denzel's brother, Dave. Yeah, I figured that.
Yeah. Denzel Mims from the Jets?
They both went to Oklahoma. Don't know. I would imagine that too. Well, maybe not, but I just figured that was his brother, Oklahoma kids.
I think that Denzel went to Baylor. Denzel, Baylor. You're right.
My mistake.
In my notes, I don't have that they're brothers. I usually pick up on that stuff early on.
One little kid, Dave, and we'll go to the next position, that I kind of liked. I got to be honest with you, dude. Tell me what you think of this guy, because he's a punt returner too. Josh Downs from NC.
I mean, I have, let's see, I am trying to get better about the actual comparisons for the people that are reading. I'm not a huge comparison guy because, again, NFL status is about where you get drafted into, the system you're in. But just in terms of measurables and skill set, he is very similar to Wandell. Just a really small frame, but thick and powerful, stronger than you think. And that shows up as a route runner, but it also shows up with the ball in his hands. He's the number two slot only in the class. So if you're a team looking for a slot and you can't get Smith Njigba, he's the guy that's going to come into the league and get you 80 to 90 catches a year, no doubt about it. Some questions in contested situations because of the frame, but I also think he loses some concentration and just doesn't play heavy against contact, if that makes sense. So he needs space. He needs that slot only role to succeed at the next level. But if he's put into the right system, he'll
hear second round pick, plenty. Dave.
Excellent.
That's what I got him. I got him like a nice second round pick. Two things that caught my eye about him, Dave, is that he had 19 touchdowns in 2 years. The kid's a red zone threat.
Yep.
And I like the way he ran routes, Dave. I love this route running. But all right, Jerry, let's move on to the next position.
Yeah, man. So guard center, right? We'll go there because there's really no true center anymore on this roster.
Yep.
So I guess two things. First, your number one guard you have going to the Eagles. I saw that, and I had the same thing happening just because they know how to draft.
Yes,
and they'll do
that. He just looks like an Eagle. Osiris Torrens.
Right. Like, they took him out of the crowd and let him play. Right. The other thing with center, right? Is there, if the receivers that they want are gone, is there a center worth taking overall at 25, or would you wait to the second round to get, guy Schmitz the
Jerry,
kid from Ohio State?
Jerry, can I jump in 1 second? Dave, I got to be honest with you, bud, before, and then we'll let you jump in and you tell us. I know a lot of people want Schmitz. Oh, yeah, he's the best center. Mm-hmm. Dude, I got to be honest with you. Watching both of them up close a lot lately, I like Wepler better than him. Am I wrong, Dave?
Mm-hmm. That's what I had, too.
No, you're not wrong. I have Wepler, Tippmann, and Schmitz. I knew we were going to talk guard center, so I said they're 1, 2, 3. And how you stack them will not be like how I stack them or how they stack them. Neither one of those guys. What I will agree with you, Chris, is Schmitz does not stand above Wepler.
His pass pro scares me a little bit. Where Wepler, and what you saw him do against top elite talent in college, his pass pro is way better, in my opinion, than Schmitz. Now, Schmitz is a powerful run-blocking kid. I get it. But Wepler's... Yep. And here's another thing looking at Wepler. He's a smart dude, bro. He recognizes twists. Mm-hmm. He's excellent in that game. I like the way he pulls. Yep. Let me look at some other notes I wrote down here. I like the way he plays outside zone runs. Recognizes twists. To me, all I heard was about was Schmitz. I said, you know what? I don't go by everybody else. I got to be honest with you, Dave. Until I look at my eyes, and then I say, well, I'm going to judge what I like. And Dave, after watching Wepler and Schmitz, I give Wepler the edge. Tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm right. Tell me whatever you get. Tell me how you got it.
You're right, Chris.
Okay. I feel a little bit better now.
No.
I mean, you're right in this regard. What are you looking for out of the center? That's the answer. If you want a lot of outside zone, and the Giants used Feliciano in that role a lot last year. I mean, the amount of time, not every center can pull out. I'm not a huge Feliciano fan, but he's one of the few that he can pull out and reach that C-gap in a blink. I don't think Schmitz is going to be able to do that. You know, you're going to have him stay at home a little bit more often. And Wepler is a much better athlete. So if you want an athlete at center, you're going to have to go with Wepler because he can reach all those points. You know, he's closer to a Garrett Bradbury type on Minnesota, who's been a little up and down. But again, they need him. They need that athleticism from that spot for Dalvin Cook's running style. So what are they doing with this running game this year? And I know that this coaching staff can play a hybrid scheme. They can switch things up based on the opponent. We hear that all the time. And, you know, what team doesn't say that? But the Giants truly did switch up the blocking scheme throughout the year in terms of, you know, matchups and who was on the field. They had a turnstile. They had, you know, a revolving door at left guard center last year. And, you know, Wepler last year's version of the Giants offense would be a better fit than Schmitz. Neither one of them are worth the 25th pick overall, though. And if the Giants pick a center at 25 overall, I would be very surprised. That would be shopping hungry. And that's something Shane always repeats. We are not going to the food store hungry. That's been their free agency plan, right? Picture a barrel that's leaking water. You have to fill the barrel, and that means you're a Super Bowl contender. If you have a bunch of leaks, you're trying to fill these leaks with patches. And what the Giants have done in free agency is they've put Band-Aids over the poles, but they're not going to be there forever. They might not be there next year. The Giants have not filled this hole at center, and I think they're going to sign someone at some point because I can't imagine them going into the draft and saying, we need to find a starting center. If they do, that can put you in a bad spot. That can make you reach. But I trust this front office that they won't do that. A name that we haven't brought up yet is Tittman from Wisconsin. He does not have the body type that I like at center. He's a little too tall. I believe he measured in at, 6'6", 313. But he plays bigger, too. He has more range. And he's a good athlete. He can reach the outside. So how the Giants view that philosophy of drafting a guy that's a little too tall, is going to struggle with the pad level, is going to get pushed around, is going to probably lose some space in the pocket a little bit for Daniel Jones. It's going to be really interesting to watch what they do there. But I believe, to answer your question, Jerry, I think the center position is going to be filled around 3 or 4. I don't think it's going to be with one of the first two picks.
Okay, I have Whipler in my mock, for what it's worth, going second.
I wouldn't be surprised ecstatic. If that happens.
Ecstatic if the Giants, if he's there and the Giants pick the second round. Dave, I always look, when I watch these guys, these young men too, I always look about the competition they played against too. I like when they play well. Like, so I watched that Jalen Carter matchup against Whipple last year. And I tell you, Dave, Jalen Carter to me is the best defensive lineman coming out of the draft. That kid is phenomenal, okay? And Whipple,
he's a stud.
Whipple played really well against him, Dave. He played pretty good against that kid, man. Got it a couple times. Jalen got him. But he also got him a lot too. I like watching how they do against top competition too.
That's the most important part.
I'm going to ask you about another kid, Dave, before we get off the center position. That if he's there in the second round, tell me if this is too high. I kind of like the kid from Michigan too, man. Oluwatomi. Okay. I don't know. Oluwatomi.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oluwatomi.
He played for Michigan last year. He transferred over. You know. Watching him, I feel this is a kid that's climbing, bro, climbing. A second or third round pick, I liked him. I liked the way he pulled. I liked the way the outside zone. I liked him in pass pro. Tell me about him, Dave. What'd you see in him?
Mm-hmm. A little heavy footed, but if he gets his hands on you,
that's what
it's
I got.
Over.
Right
he's one of those guys. You know, like that. If he gets into a good initial position, you're not going to beat him. Michael Onwenu, who is playing for the Patriots right now, fifth or sixth round pick. We had him at the Shrine Bowl a few years ago. And we remember saying the same thing about him. He's not the best athlete out there, but if his technique is good enough, if he gets into the right position, you're not going to beat him. And I feel the same way about Oluwatomi, that if he is in the right position at post-snap, and one thing he does better than Schmitz, and I think these guys are more similar than people think, right, is he stays upright. He can mirror a little bit better. Schmitz, you can see him. He shows his numbers. He shows his face mask to the ground while he's engaged with quicker, faster defenders. He's just not a natural athlete. Where Oluwatomi, he's not going to win any, you know, NFL combines in shorts, but the guy stays upright. And because he stays upright, because his hands are so strong, he can control the engagement. I do think he's a step below Whipler athletically. So again, what do you want out of the center position? And if you don't need him to move laterally that much, you could easily say he's the guy above Whipler. And you know, I mean, the guy started over 50 games in college. You know what you're getting out of Oluwatomi. Whipler is still a little bit of an unknown. But another thing that's going to put a feather in his cap, he's a Jersey kid. You know, so I think a lot of Giants fans are going to know. He's from Montville, went to St. Joe's.
Montville.
Went to St. Joe's. Yep. So I think there's this – it would be a fun – I think that's just more of a fun note to put out there. That has nothing to do with the decision, obviously. But, you know, he'll have a lot of supporters, I'm imagining, once draft time comes around.
The kid from Michigan, man, watching him, and like you said, I saw a big, powerful kid, bro. When his hands were on guys, like you said, it was over, bro. It was – I mean, I see him lock guys up. Firing out, locking guys up, and dude, done. Next play, because you're not beating that kid.
Yeah.
I think this kid has so much potential, bro.
It'd be a lot of fun to watch him and Dexter Lawrence go at it in practice and training camp, because I think although with Timmy, he's the guy that keeps the pocket expanded. You're not going to push him back. The anchor is there, right? His legs are tree trunks, and you know, it's just a matter of, do you trust him against the complex blitzes and stunts? I mean, the freak athletes that are coming into the NFL now that play the defensive line, I mean, it's almost unfair for offensive linemen now. Like, some of the athleticism numbers that these guys put out as D tackles, even, it's just ridiculous. So I think you're always going to have – I think every team's going to be dealing with that is, hey, we're not going to have the best athletes in there, but if you can at least get someone that can lock their hands on and not get pushed back, then you can work with that a little bit better. And he's in that tier.
You mentioned Shop and Hungry, and the first name that comes to mind for me with the Giants was Eric Flowers at nine.
Okay.
Overall. We needed a left tackle, and it was, all right, we'll take Eric Flowers, and he was not a finished product, and then it just became a disaster.
And it just spiraled downhill from there.
Yeah. So you're right, and I love that we have a GM. You said yes before. You said, you know, you have faith in Dable, faith in Shane too, that he's going to do the right thing. He's going to make the smart pick. We could stay on guard or center, but I just overall question, what's the deepest position for you that you see in this class?
Corner. Yeah, I think, and I'll tell you what, guys, I don't know what the agenda is here for the podcast in terms of what we're talking about.
Whatever you want it to be.
Because I got numerous kids listed on this freaking chart, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what, I'm a little, I always try to think outside the box a little bit, because I know you guys talk draft all the time, and a lot of other podcasts talk draft. Everyone's talking draft now. That's all we have to talk about. That and Lamar Jackson or Aaron Rodgers. You know, it's like, you know, you don't want to get too repetitive. And one thing I really want to get out there with this draft in regard to the Giants is, considering where the decision makers are coming from, Buffalo and Philadelphia, right? I'm talking about Brandon Brown, the assistant GM, right? They draft for next year, 2 years from now, and 3 years from now. And if you want to look at what this roster is going to be dealing with in a few years, because they're about to lock in their core, Andrew Thomas, Daniel Jones, not sure about Saquon, they're not going to have that much money to spend on some of the other premium positions. That's part of what the thought process is when you have to pay Daniel what you pay Daniel. And, I mean, the cornerback group in 2 years from now, I mean, what are we looking at? You know, is Jackson still going to be here? Maybe. Darnay Holmes? Doubt it. Nick McCloud? What is Nick McCloud? The cornerback position, in my opinion, the signing of the two guys they just brought in, the kid from Detroit, Oruware, right?
Yeah.
They're not going to be – those are not guys that are going to impact the draft decision in this draft. So I'm beating around the bush a little bit. I think – corner and maybe even nickel safety, the role that we're losing from Julian Love, this draft is loaded with those guys that can come in and contribute year one. They don't need to, all right, because they're not shopping hungry. They signed those guys as safety nets. They signed Bobby McCain as a safety net. I think defensive back is just as likely as wide receiver in round one.
I agree with you, bro. Because like you said, next year, so what are you going to be looking at? Adoree's not coming back. Right, I'm sorry. 2024. Right. I'm not talking about this season coming up.
2024. Yeah, that's what we're. Back. Yeah,
you got Cordell Flott and who else? Think about it.
Yeah, I mean, you know? Rodarius.
No,
Williams,
forget about him. I'm telling you, Dave. Forget about him. So.
Yeah, I mean, do they like Nick McCloud? I mean, but still, no matter what, none of these guys are going to impact the draft decision. You know, so I think it's very much in the wings. And I'll tell you what, Julian Love, love him or hate him. Upset about the signing in Seattle. I think that one's going to sting a little bit, seeing what he signed with in Seattle. And that role, right, a safety that has a cornerback skill set, what does that even mean? Love was a corner in college. He came to the NFL. We knew he probably was not going to be a corner in the NFL, and he kind of played both. It was mostly safety, mostly played inside. It wasn't playing outside on an island by himself. There are two or three guys that I think are first-round capable of playing that role. But the two ones that I think they're number one, two on my safety board, Brian Branch and Jartavius Martin. Brian Branch is from Alabama, Martin's from Illinois. And those are two guys I think you slot into the starting lineup week one, and your defense is immediately better. And this defense, you know, I think they let them down a little bit last year. I think they needed a little bit more depth, and they could have been a lot better if they can find pieces around to build around Dexter Lawrence and Kayvon Thibodeau and Okereke, you have to find guys on the back end. And that's where I think they're the weakest right now.
So give us, Dave, if they go corner, true corner,
yeah,
which is a possibility. Yep. Let's face it. This is an absolute possibility. They might go true corner opposite of Adoree. Okay. And then you got, you know, then you got some guys like Flood and, like you said, McLeods or whatever they do. Who do you have? My top three right now is Witherspoon and Porter and Gonzalez could go 2-2A. Flip-flop, whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. Tell me, how do you feel about these corners? I got Witherspoon. I'm very impressed with him. Plays a lot of man. Very physical. The kid hits like a damn linebacker. I mean, you see him blowing people up out there. I got him as number one, Dave. Yep. Who do you have and tell us why?
Gonzalez is number one to me, the kid from Oregon, just because of how smooth, how easy everything looks. Like, when you're scouting a corners, they're a hardest position to scout because there's a lot that goes into it schematically and who they're matched up against. I can't stress that enough, how important it is when you're scouting a corner, you need to know who they're matched up against. Are they matched up against a 4-6 guy or 4-4, right? Is who's throwing the football? You know, is it a guy that's going to be an accountant in 2 years, or is he going to be the NFL in 2 years, right? So this all matters. Gonzalez, against his toughest competition, looked no different than his easiest competition. Everything just seems natural to him, and that's what I look for the most out of a top-tier corner. The way he turns, the way he bursts out of
his
breaks.
He is fluid, dude.
He's very fluid. And then you have four after he's kind of one, and then there's two, three, four, five underneath him. You know, he's kind of like in the league of his own. I like Ringo from Georgia, and I'm going to get into why, even though he's raw. Mm-hmm. Okay, then I have Witherspoon, then I have Porter, then I have Deontay Banks from Maryland. All five of those guys have first round grades on my board, and I think one or two of them will be there when the Giants are on the clock. And who fits the scheme the best, right? Martindale, I think his scheme was even scaled back a little bit last year because they didn't have that safety net on the outside that said, hey, we're sending the house or look getting complex, but the corners, you need to live on an island against anyone and everyone, and we're going to trust you. I don't think they had that trust last year, especially after the Jackson injury. So who are the guys that fit that role the best? I think it's Joey Porter Jr. from Penn State, even though he has a lot of work to do. But this is a situation, again, where I think the Giants can afford to use a 25th pick and say, you're not starting in year one. We're going to get you looks here and there, and if injuries pile up, your number will be called. But we need to work on some of these things. Porter Jr., I'm going to put a tweet out there next week. I'm just doing a little bit more extra research on it. There are unicorns in this class. And when I say unicorns, I'm talking about physical ability, talent, measurement, speed that we have never seen before at the position. This is what caught my attention about the cornerback class the most. Porter's one of them. When you're talking about his length, his height, and then you talk about Julius Brents from Kansas State. You're talking about Emmanuel Forbes from Mississippi State. You know, the kid with all the pick sixes. And, you know, you're talking about just – this is why I even think Ringo, too. I mean, this kid's 210 pounds, runs sub 4.4. He's got a track background, but yeah. And Darius Rush, a former receiver that is now just blowing up his workouts at 6'2", 196. They have ball skills, too. I mean, this is something that we start.
I was going to ask you about.
This is something. You guys should pay attention to this. Not a lot of people are talking about this. About 4 to 5 years ago, if you remember back, every single year we were saying, man, strongest wide receiver class ever, deepest receiver class ever, ever, ever. Like years in a row. I'm like, when is this trend going to stop? I think at that time, back at the high school level and early college level, Darius Rush is an example. Some of these coaches said, hey, if you want to play in the NFL and want to be a first round pick, you got to go to corner. Because the supply and demand, it's just the receiver market is oversaturated. And everyone is starving for corners that have size and ball skills. So now these former receivers, Rush is an example, in 2019, his second year in the program, moves to corner. And now here we are, 2022. You can make the argument he's got more upside than Cam Smith, who a lot of people like as a first or second round pick. And, you know, I think that there's just guys in this class that can do things that we have not seen. And I think it's because everyone's saying, screw receiver, there's too many of them. I'm going to corner, and I'm going to stand out because I have this length. Like, imagine Quentin Johnston as a cornerback. That's kind of what you're getting out of Ringo, Porter, and Brents. That it's basically the defensive version of Quentin Johnston, and teams need that. Everyone needs a corner in this league. Every single team.
Dave,
We're gonna take our second break, guys. We'll be right back. You listen to the John Insider Podcast, folks, with special guest Dave Syverson. Hang on 1 second. And we're back, folks. You listen to the Giant Insider Podcast with Chris Nobody Beats the Biz, Biz Ignano, Jerry Foley, and our special guest from Our Lads,
Dave, I was so Dave Syverson. Go ahead, Chris. This corner group, man, watching them. I really am. Like the kid Ringo, like you said. Banks, man, I really like him. And I tell you what, Dave, Emmanuel Forbes, man, the size is what scares you, right? Obviously, he's a thin frame, and can he last in this league and all that stuff? But I tell you, man, watching him, I mean, he is physical for his size. Good man press guy. I tell you, you have him as a first round or you have him as second round grade?
I have him. So I'm looking at it right now. It's an 80. It's like the brink of first, second round. He's kind of like right on the bubble. But if gun to my head, I have an early second round grade on him.
What do you think about him, Dave? What is the size that scares you the most like me?
Yeah. I mean, it's unicorn again. Like you don't see guys weighing in at under 170 pounds. And, you know, I think that's becoming – this would be a bigger deal 4, 5, 6 years ago. But now that they're – you just can't touch receivers anymore, and they're getting a little bit more flag-happy with legal contact, you need guys that can move. And the funny part about this little story is when I first started watching his tape, I started thinking, wow, this is the exact same body type as Ahmad Gardner, Sauce Gardner. Now, Sauce Gardner was a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger. But then I'm watching the combine – and Forbes is on there. They're talking him up. Jeremiah likes him a lot. Mm-hmm. Who's in the booth is Sauce Gardner. Yeah, they're talking about this kid. And it's funny that, you know, like we talked about with their receivers earlier, you can't get too hung up on body type if there's a standout trait elsewhere. And Forbes' standout trait, I think he's got six career pick sixes.
Four career pick sixes, something, which is like a record. FBS record. And he had six
it's
picks
unbelievable
last
amount. Yeah, right. Yeah, right, six picks last year. So you're talking about a guy that has a great feel, and his movement traits, because he's so light, actually help him out. I mean, he's going to play sticky, short, intermediate, deep. He can run with vertical speed. He can make plays on the ball. And, you know, I think the quickest way to turn around a defense is create more turnovers. And if that's something that a defense is looking for, Forbes has got to be on your list.
Yeah,
but there will be teams that won't. There are teams that are pretty strict with, hey, if you're not weighing this, you know, you are below the line. We're not taking that chance. But if you're asking me, Forbes is a good fit for the Giants, and it would be a good second-round pick if he was there.
You can't teach ball hawkness, okay? And the kid's a natural ball hawk. You watch him on film. He's just always around the ball. And it's not a coincidence that he had these six picks last year, four. The kid is a ball hawk, you know? And you know, Dave, how it is. Some guys are good cover corners, but they won't come down with the picks. They won't have the ints. Who the hell was that on the Giants not too long ago? He had a career one pick or something, but he was a pretty good cover corner. I forget who the hell it was, but maybe it was Will Allen. He never had a pick, right? He was a pretty decent cover corner, but never really had any picks.
Oh, yeah.
This kid is like a like you said, depending on, you know, obviously the regime, Shane, Dable, everybody else, do you trade that size a little bit for that ball hawkness, man press guy? And that's going to be something they have to decide on, but... I really liked him too, man. Obviously, the frame is the only thing that kind of scares me. It is. So your best guy is going to be Christian Gonzalez. Dave, you like him the best.
Yep. I like him the best. And Ringo, many people don't have Ringo this high. A lot of people are saying he might not be a first rounder. And, you know, for me, like my business, and this is the way I view it, it's just how do I view them. I'm not really in the prediction business. We've talked about this last year. I don't give a damn about like mock drafts and if I'm from right or wrong about where a guy goes in the draft. And Ringo is a guy that, hey, he might not go early in the draft, but I have him number two at a premium position. And it's, you know, I watched his 2021 tape over the summer leading into the season. I just saw things that nobody else can do. And then I do the research on him. You see the track background. I'm like, okay, that's obvious because the kid can run with anyone. He's got the catch-up speed. But his issues are similar to Quentin Johnson when we talked about him. The good is really good. The bad is really bad. So where does he sit? Where is he going to be in 2-3 years? So you get some background information on his work ethic, how coachable he is, and he checks every box there. And I just think the kid needs a little bit more experience. And yes, I think he needs the right scheme. I don't know if he's gonna be a fit for schemes that run a lot of zone because I just don't think he has the feel. He's a reactionary football player that is 6'2", with I would say average length, maybe a below average, but can run with anyone. You know, this is the this is the kind of guy you line up across from DK Metcalf, yeah, and you're not, you're no longer afraid.
Hey, I was just going to say, with him, he's, and he can, he's play a strong physical kid, Dave. He's a strong, watching him in man, very strong. He's a strong kid, man. And he can blitz, which we all know, yeah, I think Wink likes to do once in a while.
Yep.
Right? So yeah.
Blitz, and he can support the run. You know, I know that you pay the other guys to stop the absolutely run, but it does matter, right, that a corner can set the edge, especially in a scheme like this. And, hey, Dave, who's the best run-defending corner in the class? It's him or Julius Brents from Kansas State. You know, they will,
Dave,
impact the run.
Before we leave
defense
corner position, you haven't said anything about Witherspoon. Is there something you don't like? You have him in the top three?
Yeah.
Is he a top 15, 20 grade in this draft? And is there something you don't like about him?
He's number three to me. And I love his story. I love the personality. I love the fact that he got to Illinois academically qualified 4 days before training camp in 2019 and then still went on to start right away. And then you see him get better every single year. So I think you're going to see someone that's going to come in and work his butt off, whether it be special teams or on the defensive side. Can he run with long speed? That's my one question. I've seen him get burned a few times, and you can tell that he's not that confident in his long speed, because the second someone gets vertical on him, the first thing he does is grab. And he'll get penalized at the next level a lot. And it's okay early on in your career for a young corner to get penalized. It doesn't mean you're doing a bad job. It just, I don't think he trusts his footwork enough, right? I mean, he's excellent when he's going downhill. When he has his eyes on the action, like you said, he's probably the most physical tackler in the group, right? He's not the most successful tackler. He misses a lot, but he is a heat-seeking missile when he comes down. But I question his ability to line up across from Devontae Smith and stick with him down the field. You know, I think he can be a weapon short to intermediate. Schemes that run zone or hybrid zone man, I think that's the best fit for him. But I do think he'll
one
be a top 15
pick. One thing about
Devin
that he's going to have to – whatever team he winds up with, he's going to have to kind of bring in that aggressiveness a little bit, Dave. He's a little too aggressive at times. I see that in him where he gets over-aggressive.
Right. Yeah.
He's trying to make that big hit. He over-pursues. He's trying to line up the guy to level him. Dude, you're a corner. And don't get me wrong.
Right.
I love physical corners. I mean, we had one 100 years ago, Mark Collins. It would knock your teeth in. You know, I love guys that come up and put a hat on you. But you're a corner. You know what I mean? Still, you're not a safety lining up an angle and blowing a guy up. You know, you're still a corner. And at times I see.
Yep.
But that's something, Dave, they could work. Whoever, you know, coaching staff will bring that in, I'm sure, in him, you know, without taking away his aggressiveness.
Yeah, I would say this. You'd rather deal with that problem
than
someone that's not
absolutely
physical enough, right? Because that those traits are hard to develop. It's hard to make a grown man tougher, you know, like once they get into the NFL. So, you know, in that same discussion, does that over-aggressiveness show up in coverage? And I think this is where a corner in year two, year three, once the league gets enough tape on you, they could start playing games with you. So he's going to have to fix the over-aggressiveness for the sake of his year two, year three status in the league. Like, if they know that you bite on fakes, you bite on double routes, and you don't have the recovery speed, which is the one question I have with him, that could be a nail in the coffin type trait. So I agree with you. That's going to be something that needs to be worked on in addition to some of the footwork.
Dave, you said there's a lot of unicorns in this draft. And, you know, I think, if I recall, you had the corners, you had a bunch of first-round grades there. You had first-round grades on a number of quarterbacks, which we don't care as much about. But you also had a number of first-round grades on edge rushers. Is that where you're talking about the other the unicorns?
Yeah, the edge rushers
for
in this class, this is, if you ask me what's the second deepest group, it would be a tie between the edge group and the running backs. There were a couple guys that went back to school that I thought were going to come out, so that kind of dampened this group a little bit, but it's still, I mean, I think this edge group is better than what we saw last year. Maybe not as top heavy, but I mean, you can make the argument it is. And I think Giants fans, you guys should be thinking about edge here. I mean, they're thin behind Kayvon Thibodeau and Ojulari, who is now we can label him an injury risk, right? And times, I think we kind of lost track of this late in the year when Kayvon really started to blow up. This was a pretty bad outside rush for most of the season last year. And if you don't believe in the long-term projection or even the roster status of Ojulari here, this is a spot that I think Martindale is going to be banging on the table and saying, we need another outside threat. or at least someone that can shift outside. And there's a few of those guys in this class that can kind of play some inside-outside versatility. But I don't think we're going to see round one edge, but I think once day two rolls around, it's a strong possibility if the value's there.
Yeah, like rounds four or five.
I would even say round three. You know, if someone slides down to a spot. Because, again, I'm looking at – I mean, I think I have a dozen round one, two, three grades. So you have to imagine someone's going to be there round three that probably shouldn't be, just based on supply and demand around the league. Right. And you could probably say the same thing about round four.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember last year we talked about the edge defenders in the Martindale scheme. He does prefer size, or I should say – he does prefer the ability to set the edge, right? You need to have some stoutness to you. Right. Now, it's not a rule. I mean, they drafted Tyrus Bowser when he was in Baltimore, and they drafted Thibodeau, who's not a big guy. I mean, he's a better run defender than people give him credit for. But I do believe if they're not completely confident in Ojulari being a long-term answer, or they're just afraid of the injuries, and, hey, part of the draft is coming up with Plan B and Plan C, right? Can you get someone here with a little bit more size that can still rush the passer on the outside? And there's a few guys here that can do that.
Because the other guy on the roster is Ellerson Smith, and he sees the field less than Ojulari. You know, like it's just like you said, they're so thin behind him, which is why I do think they will take an edge rusher.
Yeah, it's not a spot you want to be thin at. And hey, I mean, I love Ellerson Smith coming out. I'm so disappointed that we just haven't seen him break into that. What I thought he could be, but the injuries popped up, and you can see mentally it doesn't look like it's clicking with him either. But I agree with you. I think round three, you could start looking at those edge rushers, see who's there, and you could probably come up with a fit or two.
So one position that Wink will be banging on the door, I'm pretty sure about, even though they signed Bobby Okereke, Wink's going to want another linebacker, Dave, because from last August, he did not like this linebacking group. And then one kid he kind of liked a little bit, got hurt, blew out his knee in training camp, and that was Darian Beavers. Mm. So for Giants fans, Dave, I can tell you this for a fact. Don't think because he signed Okereke, okay, we're good there. No, they're going to look for probably another kid because stopping the run is a priority, okay? So you look at some of these kids that are a little bit on the inside, do both. I know most people like this kid from Clemson, Trenton Simpson, Dave. I kind of like the kid from Washington State a ton, and Henley.
Okay.
Kind of like him. Campbell. You got, of course, Jack Campbell, who had a good combine. A lot of people love him, including me. Who do you like, Dave? Tell us about him.
So, yeah.
Hey, real quick, Dave, before you start, I got to give you credit. You had Darian Beavers as your best value pick for the Giants.
Yeah,
last year.
I really was. There you go. There were a lot of injuries, I remember, last year during camp preseason. I mean, it happens around the league, but that was the one I was most disappointed by because it seemed like he was breaking into the number one spot, the number one role.
Yeah. You had it after they drafted him, though. You said this is the best value pick for the Giants.
That was a good fit in terms of what Martindale wants. He doesn't want inside linebackers that are just an inside linebacker run. Like, you got to be able to blitz, rush the passer, and cover a little bit. And he fit every bill there. Now, there's a kid. He's on my number four, so he's not number one. But he's from the same program. He's my favorite player to watch in this draft. Him and Sidney Brown. Ivan Pace from Cincinnati. Just a bowling ball that – He will hurt grown men when he tackles them. I mean, his presence will be felt right away. There's a size issue there. I believe he measured in at under 6 foot. I'll get that for you real quick. He was, 5'11", 231, short arms too, small.
Yeah. I have your article up, Dave. That's why I just gave it back.
This is the thing about him, okay? This kid made an unbelievable amount of plays behind the line of scrimmage, and that is a trait. When you look at some of the best inside linebackers, off-ball linebackers in the NFL, if there's one metric that you can see carries over to the NFL, just like interceptions with quarterbacks, it's plays behind the line of scrimmage. And his size is actually an advantage. And he's actually one of the most explosive players at the position in the entire class. I think he had, at his pro day, he ran in the 4.5s, jumped out of the building. The agility is off the charts. He's rocked up. And he transferred from Miami of Ohio to see how he would do against higher-level competition. And he had his best year of his career. And that's something that I think you're going to see something similar in the NFL. And a couple of the guys I scout with, we all said Malcolm Rodriguez from Detroit. Sixth-round pick that – you kind of knew coming out he was going to do a good job if he got into the right system, and he exceeded our expectations. So I think this is a kid that if the Giants and if Martindale can get over the lack of length, which I'm not sure. I know he likes length. Yeah. Patrick Queen had a length issue at Baltimore, and it's kind of starting to come to fruition that he's just not, you know, panning out. And part of that issue is the length. But Ivan Pace Jr. is a kid that I would just love to see here play. Even if he doesn't make it defensively, he will be everyone's favorite special teamer to watch. So where do you draft a kid like that? You know, I think most are going to say day three. I will have a day two grade on him. I think, you know, that's where I think he's going to stack up on my board. But, you know, back to what Chris is saying, who's the favorite guy? Trenton Simpson is my favorite linebacker, and he does fit. You know, before the Okereke signing, I was saying, hey, I think this is the kind of guy the Giants are going to go after. And hey, just like you said, I don't think they're done at linebacker, and I think they want to add some competition there for McFadden and Beavers. And Simpson is explosive. He's versatile. He's a top-notch, intangible kid, a team leader, someone that you know is going to come in and work his butt off. They're going to have no issues with him. That's the kind of guy that adds speed and personality to the defense. Like Weatherspoon, the corner from Illinois, a little too aggressive at times. You find him get a lot of running. He creates a lot of cutback lanes for running backs, and you could see it pretty visibly when you watch from the All-22 tape.
You know, I got Trenton Simpson as a real good downhill tackler, but I have a little issue with him in coverage at times. Did you see that too?
Yeah. Doesn't know what he's doing. He's athletic enough to cover, but he doesn't have the feel.
Especially in his zone.
And here's a question we ask ourselves a lot with corners is, what would you rather have? Guy that can run a 4-3 but doesn't have a feel, or a guy that runs a 4-5 that has the feel? You know, and, you know, ends up being a tie, really, right? If you're faster, you can make up for lost decisions. But in today's short passing game, you know, this is what Jabril Peppers struggled with. You know, he never had a feel in coverage. He was fast enough to make up for mistakes. But in a short passing league where the quick fire, all you need is that little window. And Trenton Simpson, he allows that little window often in coverage. I just don't think he has the feel.
You know, exactly what I wrote, Dave, is that an excellent downhill tackler, but zone coverage question mark. That's exactly what I have, you know. And look that could improve. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. And you look, he's a 4-4 kid, but like you said, Dave, you know, in this league, in the NFL, running 4-4 don't mean shit, because other guys will play faster than the game speed. That's what's important. Like, I look at Jack Campbell at times, and I see the kid's got a 4.65, right, Dave? But I'm looking at I'm watching him on film, saying, yeah, that's nice, he's got a 4.65, but look at the way he's playing. He's not playing 4.65 level. Right. That's big to me, Dave. Guys of game speed, forget about the shorts and running a 40 in front of Rich Eisen and everything looks great. You know, let me see him on film. How's he look game speed? That's big. You know, and you see some of these guys. Look, I like Trenton a lot too, Dave. There's some things, don't get me wrong, like we just talked about. But I like his high motor, Dave. I like he's a nasty kid. I like he's a sideline to sideline kid. Look, Dave. I always love that little nastiness of the guy. I'm like that old school idiot mentality. Like, give me a guy with a little chip and nasty and knock your teeth in. And I like that about him. He seems to have that sideline to sideline nastiness about him. But, Dave, one other kid I just want to talk about with you, because you know this crap better than me. I really like this kid from Washington State. Tell me what you don't like about what you do like about him. I just want to quickly tell me if I'm wrong. I like the idea he could blitz, okay? He even played three technique on a line at times, this kid. He seems to read the run really well. Gap type run guy. Tell me what I'm wrong of. I'm right. What do you like about him?
No, he's a day two pick for sure. I think he could start in the league. You know, whenever I put a day two grade on someone, that means I think he could be a starter within your first year or two. And I have him in that tier. The thing I like about him is he's similar to Simpson. He plays a lot of energy. He's physical. He's nasty. Yeah. And he can run. You know, he can pursue guys sideline to sideline. He has a little bit of a high hip frame, and what that means is, like, the movement gets a little clunky at times. Like, when he makes an initial read and then he has to adjust, it takes him an extra step or two. And at linebacker, that worries me a little bit. That's really what prevented him from going to, like, the top of the round two, maybe even end of round one tier for me, is you just see those recovery steps, some balance and stability issues. In space, it's not always the issue. But in tight quarters, when you're playing that inside run, that could be something that kind of beats him up a little bit. I don't love how he takes on blocks either. Henley, he exposes his chest a lot. Again, these are things that can be coached up, but these are just notes that I have on him from the game film that, you know, offensive lineman that had a clean shot at him, he had a really hard time getting off those guys. So I think his highlight reel is fun, right? Because he can run, he can hit, he can cover. He doesn't have to come off the field on third down. whether you want him to rush the passer or cover someone out of the backfield. But I think the day-to-day, sorry, the snap-to-snap inside run defense is what would scare me if he was playing next to Okereke.
Dave, what I love about your analysis, in all honesty, this has been for years now, you put yourself out there. You don't just, I mean, you always say, like, have your own opinions. So I'm going to call you out on one. I want to ask, I'm not calling you out, I want to ask you about one. You have Michael Mayer as a second round grade and three tight ends ahead of him. Wow. I was like, wow, but I like, good for you. Like, but.
Well, there's two things. Kincaid, this tight end class is probably the best tight end class we've seen in a long time. Maybe ever. You know, we might be getting 11 starting tight ends out of this group. And usually the average, just so you know, is 4 to 5. So, you know, that's a position I probably should have answered first when you said, what's the deepest group? You know, because I went to, all right, which has the most round 1, 2, 3 grades? But really, in proportion to previous years, this is the strongest group, position group in the class, right? I mean, there are over twice as many starting caliber players in this group that we've ever seen in previous. Now, so I think Mayer is a little bit of a victim of how strong this group is. Mayer, to me, is a very average athlete. And a lot of the production that we saw out of him in the passing game was manufactured. It was engineered by the scheme. Bubble screens, short dump off passes. And then I went into his blocking. And I think a guy this big from the Notre Dame program, you stereotype it as, oh, he's probably a bruiser. And I left very underwhelmed. Especially, so yeah, I came away underwhelmed by the blocking, both in space and at the second level. I just never thought that he was playing sticky enough with his hands. Now, the question is, Dave, we're not drafting Michael Mayer in the first or second round to block. But I think part of his view, part of the view that everyone has on him is that he's a true every down threat. I mean, he's going to block at a high level. He's going to get yards after the catch at a high level. And he's going to catch the football at a high level. And I just, every time I graded him across the sheet, meaning I looked at the trait and I gave him a grade. I looked at the trait, I gave him a grade. They just were constantly average to above average. And the question is, and this is a little bit unfair for those that love Mayer, is if any of these other guys were in that scheme and got the amount of looks that he did, they would have had better or the same production. Because I think the athleticism that you have out of Kincaid, Musgrave, and just the unicorn status of Darnell Washington, I think that the situation pumped him up a little bit more. And I think the fact that he was good right away as a freshman, everyone's just been anticipating this draft for him. And when I really kind of take away those biases and I really just study him as a prospect, I don't see the standout trait.
Okay.
Dave, you know how much I like you, right?
Here we go.
All right. And you know how much I respect?
Yes, sir.
But you just annoyed the shit out of me with that Michael Mayer evaluation.
Okay. I poured the gasoline on that one.
Yes, you did.
He's had a tomato quarterback for the last 2 years. True. Now.
Who's the Oregon State quarterback? Who's the Utah quarterback?
No. Look, I agree with you. Look, I have to be honest with you. And you know I'm a Notre Dame guy and I love Mike. But he didn't have the year I thought he would last year. I have to be honest with you. But I still think he's going to do great. I think he's going to do very good things at the next level.
I think he'll be in the league a long time.
I think he'll be in the league a while. So I'm going to forgive you for that evaluation now. Because that's how much I respect you.
I would just say this. Let's both agree here, though, right? We don't have special movement traits here, right? He's a 4.7 guy. I don't see a lot of dynamic movement after the catch either. I don't see like a lot of agility. I mean, he breaks tackles. He's tough. But then you also see him in the trenches. He's a one-and-done guy. Those are the notes I have. He makes good initial contact, but he doesn't play sticky. He doesn't get his hips into the hole. So I just think that the perception of him is stronger than what he is on the field. And I will eat it if I end up being wrong in a couple of years.
Oh, dude. Okay, let's bring it. That's why we do this. Yes, sir. You know? Yep. Hey, look, I think people are going to be really pleasantly surprised with the Georgia kid. He's a freak.
He is.
I like him. And obviously, you know, the next one that comes out of Georgia next year is
oh, yeah.
Insane.
No, he's a top 10 pick.
He's insane. He's insane. So, all right, Jerry, let's want to finish up with defensive line.
Yeah, yeah.
Something, another position the Giants need. You know, I'm sure they're going to draft one or two in this draft. Let's talk to Dave. Dave, talk about some defensive linemen that you really like.
So what are we looking at here with the Giants? Do they need another? I mean, Leonard Williams, I don't know what they're going to do. Chris, do you have any info on what they might do with his contract?
The only thing I heard that they're thinking about, well,
extending him?
They're going to have to extend him a year to knock that number down.
Because right now, when I'm talking about the defensive tackle group, I'm saying he's gone next year, right? We're in the final year of his contract.
Yeah,
I would assume.
Yeah, he's voided next year. He's voided. Yeah.
So that's a huge deal. I mean, that was their defense last year. That really is what got them through, the combination of Dexter and Leonard. And you know the payday that they're about to give Dexter. He's probably going to demand the highest paid defensive tackle contract in the NFL after seeing what DeRon Payne got from Washington. They might just not have the means. This is what, again, we talked about this earlier. You have Andrew Thomas coming up too, that you're going to have to eventually let good players walk. That's what good teams do. And that's part of the process. Let's assume he's gone next year. I hope he's not. I hope they add a year to his deal. What do they need? Do they need someone that's a little bit more physical, or do they need another pass rusher? And here's a name. I put a tweet out a couple weeks ago. I think this kid's going to be a first round pick, and I think Martindale could make it work. If you want to say what would be the biggest surprise in the draft potentially for the Giants, it would be drafting the kid from Northwestern in the first round to add to their pass rush repertoire. I don't want to get his name wrong, but it's Adebore from Northwestern.
Yeah. Right.
The kid that has almost carbon copy tool set to Aaron Donald. And Aaron Donald, I mean, that's one where – that was the Odell Beckham year. I said Aaron Donald's going to be one of the best players that come out of that draft. That's who I wanted the Giants to draft that year. I got flack for it back then, too, because I thought Donald should have won over Beckham. And now we're talking about maybe arguably the best defensive tackle to ever play the game. I don't think he's not going to grade that high, but the movement trace this kid has at 285 pounds with better length, a better frame than what Donald had, and better speed, explosion, quickness – at 285 pounds, this is the kind of guy that could change a pass rush. And I think this is what the Giants could use, is another interior force, a guy that can A, B, or C gap and make it happen. So that's a guy I think could really be a good fit here.
Dave, I'm telling you right now, I would not be surprised. I know it's high. I could totally see the Eagles drafting him at 10. Based on what he brings to the table and what I've seen, again, me cramming for this session here and the last issue, it's like I could totally see that happening. And then, you know, so you're saying you don't know if he's going to go that high. These are the type of guys that rise up, dude.
Right.
Absolutely.
They rise up, and this is what the Eagles do. They just keep feeding the trenches. And, you know, and I don't want to hear anyone say, oh, the Giants have Dexter and Leonard Williams. It's irrelevant who's on the team right now. These guys, the best defenses in the NFL, they rotate their defensive line to a point where they're just playing 50 to 60% of the snaps. Yeah. You know, and we can't see Dexter Lawrence play set. Like, those guys were playing 90% of the snaps for weeks in a row last year because, you know,
Dave,
you can't do
Dave,
that.
Dave, you know what Dexter Lawrence wound up with percentage of snaps?
You probably know better than me. Was it close? Was it 80?
82%.
Yeah, that's
a
lot. That's a lot. I mean, Chris Jones from Kansas City.
That's insanity.
It's insanity. I mean, Chris Jones from Cincinnati, he's 60 to 65%. You know, I mean, Donald and Jeffrey Simmons are the only two guys that I think are kind of like the freaks of the freaks that can handle that kind of load. But, you know, I mean, we even see Simmons break down a little bit, and the kid's still on his rookie contract. Yeah. I mean, I think to really get the most out of Dexter Lawrence, which I think this team's going to commit to him long-term. I mean, I would be surprised if he walks. You have to get pieces next to him that when he comes off the field, because you can't demand that many snaps from him, that you're not seeing such a significant drop-off. Now, this kid has nothing to do with Dexter Lawrence in terms of skill set, but he will impact the passing game at a similar level.
Now, real quick, Chris, see, besides Carter and the Northwestern kid, do you have a first-round grade on anyone else?
I don't. Brian Breesy's my next, and he's a round two guy, and there's going to be a lot of love-hate with him. So I do think someone's going to take him in the first round because of the rare blend of tools. But I hated his tape from last year, and I know he's coming off a torn ACL, had a lot of personal issues in the past season, and I do think that's part of what happened with him. And he looked great at the combine, so I think someone's going to take a chance on him. I could see him going to Pittsburgh and having a long career there, that kind of 3-4 DN type. Keanu Benton, Kalijah Kancey are two guys that I've seen others talk about in round one. Kancey, to me, is just – he's in the same mold as the kid from Northwestern. I just think he's a little under – across the board, he's under him, right? He's shorter, lighter, doesn't play as skillful, doesn't pursue as well. But he's a pass rusher, and he's going to penetrate. So team, everyone wants a pass rusher. He could go round one as well, but I have a round two grade there.
Okay. How about Mazi Smith?
Just wrote him up, actually. Modified his report a little bit. He is probably the freak of the freaks. You know, he's 334 pounds.
Freak athlete. That's what I have down here.
Athlete. I think he might have been number one or two on Bruce Feldman's freak list, which is always a fun read in the summer. And it's it's really about, you know, that report is about weight room and 40s and times and all that, which, again, you have to take a grain of salt, especially with defense, with linemen in general. But his athleticism and power, it does show up. And he's a guy that every team, I think, is going to have someone in that room that wants to work with him. Does he know what he's doing yet? I think he had a half a sack over the course of his entire career. But he did get a lot of pressure. He does break through. He does disrupt the offense. And at the end of the day, take the statistics away. That's what you want defensive linemen to do, disrupt the flow of the offense. And he can do that. And I think he's going to last a long time in the league. He's a sturdy, big player. He played an insane amount of snaps at Michigan. Like, I don't know if everyone – I think he was close to 90%, which is unheard of. And that kind of – that rings true. I think that's going to be a big deal in rooms.
So, Dave, say the Giants – I shouldn't say shock, but say the Giants go defensive line at 25. Mazi's off the board. Jalen, of course. Who do you like the best?
So the kid from Northwestern's off the board and Jalen Carter's off the board. Who do I like best out of?
Yeah, Jalen Carter, Michigan kid, Mazi's off the board, and the kid from Northwestern's off the board. Who do you like?
Man, that's next round. It's a tough call. I think
you don't like Clancy from Pitt. You wouldn't go with him next round.
I just don't.
You don't think he's a late first round?
I don't think there's enough versatility there, and I don't think there's. I think he's going to be a package player, which is fine. And I can see why some teams would want to use a first round, but I just think he's a pure free tech. Like, I just think that he's going to have one role and one role only. And right. I don't think he's special enough to say, hey, I deserve to be picked in the first round. So I guess it would have to be between Breesy and Benton, Keanu Benton from Wisconsin. Benton started to show some pass rush repertoire this past year.
I like him.
And he's got the NFL body. I think he kind of fits more with, like, the run defense mindset. Like, hey, we need a run plug, and you put him and Lawrence next to each other, and you're going to be dominant inside, or you should be if you have good enough players around him. But Breesy is the kind of pass rusher. He has the pass rush potential that Leonard Williams brings to the table. So if you're going to try to replace that at a fraction of the cost, right, a rookie contract versus the $30 million that Leonard Williams has coming his way, Breesy probably fills that void the most. So if gun to my head on that question, I think it'd be Breesy from Clemson.
Yeah, and you know what, Dave? He'll be 2 years off that ACL, you know, next year. You know, so that ACL will be good. Only in a little, I don't know if he should have stayed another year. I know he's a redshirt sophomore, so maybe he should have stayed, but he came out, whatever. Yep. You know, he had a pretty good combine, right, Dave? If I remember right, Breesy, his stock went up a little bit.
He looked great. He ran great. He looked great in positional drills. You know, he doesn't have your classic defensive tackle body type. Like, he's a little kind of little leggy. He's not as thick. I still think he needs a little bit more time in the weight room, but he has the frame for it. And you know that he spent a year rehabbing an ACL, and then he also dealt with a really significant personal issue that probably took some wind out of his sail when it comes to training. Okay. Yep.
Okay.
All right, Dave, I know you like mock drafts so much.
Yes, I do.
What's your prediction for the Giants round one? Just give the people what they want. I know everybody loves mock drafts, so it is what it is.
No, I mean, I think it's going to be one of the receivers. I think it's going to be Zay Flowers or Jaxon Smith-Njigba if he's there. If neither one of those guys are there, I think it's going to be a defensive back. One of the nickel safeties, Brian Branch or Jartavius Martin from Illinois, and then one of the corners that falls. If it ends up being Joey Porter Jr. or Kalee Ringo, I think it's going to be one of those two positions, and those are the names I think we're going to see there.
Cool. Awesome.
So wide receiver or corner?
Wide receiver or corner,
Giants are going with that 25. Dave, do you think Joe gets aggressive, tries to move up in his draft? I think he might.
It's good. It's funny. I got so used to finding Dave Gettleman and Jerry Reese, like, predictable. Like, I went into the draft every year saying I kind of knew what they were going to do, right? Especially early in the draft or even from a macro level. Like, in this draft, they're going to get this, right? Or even this profile of player. I don't have a feel for him yet, and that's a good thing. I believe him, and when he says this, that I think it's on the table. I think if they have a high enough grade on someone, I think they will be aggressive and pull the trigger. If there's a receiver or corner that they have a high grade on and they can give up a first and second or first and third to move up and get him, I believe they will be aggressive enough to do it. They have a lot of picks late in the draft too. So if they're just looking for sheer volume, I know they're late. I think they have,
ten picks overall. I think they got 3 and 7.
Yep.
And I think 2 in the 5th round.
And I'll tell you what, I mean, I trust these guys with draft picks. You know, So if you just give them a lot of swings in the batter's box, I think they will connect. They will get value out of each one of those picks more often than not. So if they have to lose a second or a third to make an aggressive move up, I wouldn't be as worried as I would from a Dave Gettleman approach, where they just never really got consistent with some of their late round picks. So that if you just give them a lot of picks, I think they're going to make it work. And I also think he's really skilled at moving back and in round 2 or round 3 to pick up some extra day 3 picks or future picks. So I think Shane and his staff are very savvy, smart, intelligent, ahead of the curve. And it's been a while since we could say that with the front office. So no matter what they end up doing, trade up, trade down, stay put, it's going to be I'm going to feel confident it's the right decision.
Well, it's interesting, Dave, because 2 of the later round picks last year, McKethan and your guy that you talked about, Beavers.
Yep.
Beavers was really coming on before the injury, and they really liked McKethan too before his injury.
Yeah.
You know? So you just talk about, you know, you trust their evaluations with these 5th round picks, 4th round picks, 7th round, 6th round picks. There's two guys right there. They took 5th round and later, and they liked them both. They just suffered the injuries that obviously ended their season quick. You know.
Yeah. So I mean, those guys are getting like added to the roster this year. You know. So it's gonna be a competitive camp, much more than last year. Like, I think there's gonna be a lot of good players vying for just a couple spots, and that's how you make a team better. It takes a while. You know, I think that's something that everyone needs to know. To really turn around a ship, it can take 3, 4, 5 drafts. But I think if you just keep on getting to that batter's box and hitting a double, hitting a triple, every now and then hit a home run, that's how you make that team a sustainable winner.
Mm-hmm. And I think they're on the path to doing that, Dave.
Yes, sir. You know, I agree.
So. Well, hey, listen, Dave, it's great stuff, man. Jerry, anything else?
No, Dave, the highlight for me was you mentioned the name Darius Rush, because that was someone I saw and I was like, why is this guy not higher? So, in all seriousness, man, you've been really generous with your time. I want to thank you personally for the last few years writing into The Insider. Dave's column, guys, if you don't subscribe, and you really should, Dave provides every week matchups to look for, matchups for Giant fans to look for every week. And he points out, you know, maybe a corner versus a wide receiver in this game, and then, you know, a center versus a defensive tackle in another game. So Dave's been writing for The Insider for a few years. And now, like I said, dude, the draft coverage was awesome. I just want to thank you for everything. Thanks for this. And we love your analysis here, man. Great job.
Thank you guys for the opportunity. It means a lot to me that you guys are having me on, and you guys have helped me a lot over the years too. It's not just me sending out the help. So I appreciate you guys a lot as well.
No, Dave, it was a pleasure. Nobody's going to be bored listening to more than an hour of this podcast. Trust me. I'm sure if we went 2.5 hours, right, Jerry, people would be like, this is great stuff.
Yeah.
Dave, before we leave, when I see a training camp this year, you want me to hold any beat reported downs? You could beat the shadow. Anybody, you know, you want me to hold like Pat Leonard while you palm him or something like that?
We'll talk off camera about that.
Yeah, I'm only kidding. It's just a joke.
Dave's into the CrossFit stuff too, man.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we had a big year. For anyone that does CrossFit out there, we hosted the live worldwide 23.2 announcement, and I know that's in one ear out the other for most, but we've had a big year at CrossFit Bison, so it's going to try to keep both ships going in the right direction.
I was going to say, plug whatever else you want, dude. Tell people where they can find you.
Hey, I mean, I'll be pretty active draft weekend. Rlads_Cy on Twitter. I try to do as much analysis as I can. A couple other things, like I said, they get in the way, whether it be work, personal life, but now that I'm done with I just sent in all of my team reports and scouting reports to the printer literally last night. So I will have a little bit more time to just kind of share some things on Twitter that I picked up over the past few months that, you know, are just kind of some interesting nuggets about some of these guys coming up. And some of them are Giants related, some of them are not. But I'll do my best to stay as active as I can on Twitter between now and the draft.
And real quick, I know Big Blue Interactive will chime in. the guys on Big Blue Interactive, and they'll say things like, "Thank God Dave was on. I hate Jerry Foley." Whatever. I'm expecting to read it, so it is what it is.
Well,
so
I'll say this:
I know those guys love you over there.
Any of the Big Blue Interactive guys, you can take my word for it. Jerry and Chris are top notch guys. They know their stuff. They know the job. No, it's a great community over there. Eric's done a lot for me over there. I put out a lot of content for the draft starting in April for them. I'm more than happy to do it. And, you know, I just like to talk ball. I don't really try to get into any of the personal stuff. That's just is what it is. And hey, I'm right sometimes, I'm wrong sometimes, and so are you. So that's the end of that.
Absolutely.
Awesome. All right. That was Dave Syvertson. Like Chris said, that could have gone 2-3 hours, and it was riveting. I love listening to that dude talk. And dude, Chris, I mean, the work you've done on looking at the film, it's awesome. I love it. It's what a great draft conversation. I had a great time. So
yeah, look, there's nothing else going on this time of year, so I look at the positions that Giants obviously are going to go after in the draft, you know, to address some needs. And I like doing that, Jerry. I like writing a ton of my notes, looking at these guys, and, you know, going to a guy who does it all year and comparing it. It's fun, it's good stuff. Dave's always a good, you know. One great thing about Dave is he doesn't come on and try to act like he knows it all, you know, and all that stuff. Yeah. He just gives his opinion, just like I do, you know. I'll never forgive him for the Michael Mayer evaluation, probably, but, you know, but not at all.
I was surprised to see it. I was like, oh, wow, he has him fourth. Look at this.
Look, I'm very biased as Notre Dame, but I got to be honest with you, dude. I can see what he's saying a little bit. I wasn't crazy with Mike Gill last year at certain things. I really wasn't. So anyway, the Giants won't be going tight end at 25, but we don't have to worry about that. Good stuff. It's always good. I know we went past the hour, but I think people will not mind it, right? Because listening to all these drafts, everybody's fascinated with the draft that's coming up, and it was good stuff.
Yeah, it was awesome. Great time, man. Nice job. All right, guys, to order a subscription to The Giant Insider, which we just printed last night, go to www.thegiantinsider.com and go to Magster for a digital subscription. That's Magzter. All right, guys, Sunday's our Giant Days. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.